You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. Couple things that are happening. One is that this Thursday is a special partnership meeting, a church meeting. If you call this your home church, we'd love for you to be here. We have a whole bunch of things to talk about together as a family. This meeting will not be streamed nor actually recorded for anybody to listen to later. We're going to be talking about a few different things that are taking place. One is wanting to just kind of talk about a situation of how we're walking with Justice Martin and Living Hope Church. I know some of you have been asking questions about that. You can come to the meeting. But also some great news regarding what's happening with some friends of mine and people that I think have you even met quickly on stage one Sunday in Gloversville, New York. Want to talk about that in the future there. And also what's happening with Augsburg as we've been, you know, aiming our sights there to see God do a work in Augsburg, or continue really a work in Augsburg he's been doing for years. But so this meeting on Thursday, it's really a lot about what's been taking place over the last 8-10 weeks that we haven't been able to discuss really on a Sunday morning. I'd love for you guys all to be here. So if you call this your church, please come on Thursday. For those of you who really are trying to avoid crowds and to be as socially distant as possible, we completely understand. So what we're doing is we really want to kind of heighten our ability to make sure everybody feels comfortable. So everybody needs to wear a mask when they come on Thursday, to your seats at least. And also, we're going to designate the balcony area and the conference room or there, the multi-purpose room off to the right-hand side, the welcome room, as spaces for people who really want to just stay separate. So if you feel comfortable, stay down here in the sanctuary. If you don't and you come, you can head right to the balcony or the multi-purpose room, and you can kind of stay a little bit more socially distant. We'll be streaming it to the TV in there. So please, love for you all to be here. Love to it to be a discussion. We're going to talk about what's happening in our church and some great things that are taking place. All right, so that's Thursday at 7. Good? We're still awake? All right, awesome. So then, also, due to COVID, everything seems to get canceled, right? I mean, I guess in June, I'll just be honest, I was complaining because in June they canceled the Labor Day parade. And I was like, the Labor Day parade? It's not till September. And so our endeavor has been to not cancel things immediately. We want to try to do as much as possible, obviously following the regulations, obviously following what is safe for precautions to take and all those kinds of things. So in that, we have not canceled our marriage conference weekend. But what was happening was the leaders that were coming were from Arizona, and, you know, New York had made their kind of list of states you couldn't come from and not quarantine for a couple of weeks. Well, Arizona just got removed from that list. Yay. But because of COVID, we had thought they weren't coming. They booked to go somewhere else on the dates we had booked them for. So they said, well, we can come the weekend before, which is October 9th and 10th, which is Columbus Day weekend. What's funny is it's actually the weekend we wanted them to come originally, but they said they couldn't because they were booked somewhere else. But their whole schedule is messed up. So we are going to reschedule because we really want to do this. So it's October 9th and 10th. If you've already paid, it just will transfer over. If for some reason you really can't come that weekend, we understand. We'll give you a full refund. It's $40. Listen, for a couple. $20 for an individual. If you want to come, you know, I guess I'm saying you want to come. You want to come. Whether you're married right now, whether you want to be married someday, whether you're looking to see your relationship grow, listen, you want to come to this. These people are incredible. I went to a marriage conference with them. Listen, I went thinking it was probably going to be lame. Just being honest. I was mostly like, hey, we're going to stay a night in a hotel with my wife and get some free time with her and go out to dinner and we'll go and listen to some good worship. I thought that's what it would be. Honestly, our life was changed. It was incredible. And so I just want to implore you, please do all you can for your relationship. Come to this conference. It's $40. That's simply just to cover some of the things we're going to do while you're here. There's going to be some food stuff. There's going to be, you know, we're going to make it a really fun time. There's going to be things that we give you. Plus, we do have to cover their airfare and stuff, but that's not a big deal. We're going to pay for that mostly out of the church's budget. But listen, if you are married, if you want to be married, if you have been married and you just feel you want to have God speak into this area of your life, please, please, please make this possible. So it's going to start Friday night. You don't have to get out of work. It's going to start Friday night. It's going to be Friday night, all day Saturday. They're also going to speak here on Sunday morning, okay? So that is October 9th, 10th, and 11th. We need you to go online and sign up for that, register for that. It's pretty easy off our website, also on the Church Center app. You can call here if you ever need anybody to help you do that. But I'm just going to kind of implore you to make that possible for your lives. Sound good? All right. On to the message, which is called Distracted, and I feel very distracted. It's good to see you guys today, everyone. So today I was writing this message. I started in the middle of the week, really, and finished it up this morning, and I'll be honest, I actually struggled to really kind of consolidate what I really want to try to say to you today. And what I feel that Jesus really deeply was trying to say to his culture when he came. And I put the title Distracted because I really think in the world, in this moment, many of us are living deeply distracted. As Christians, especially Christ followers, those who say they want to follow Jesus and follow his ways, it's so easy to get distracted in this world, especially right now. I think I alluded to this back in June, and kind of we were talking about truth, and I talked about how we could get distracted by the wrong truth. We start chasing a certain truth in our lives, but it's really not the thing that matters at all. But I want to kind of take it in this broader aspect that we can easily become distracted by the world. Right now, if you spend any time on the news, Facebook, you can get swallowed up into a world that has really gone awry. That's kind of gone a bad way. Shootings, protests, riots, killings. You know, let alone the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, regardless of which side you pick. All of the things that are taking place on Facebook and social media that's constantly divisive and trying to pull your attention into it and trying to persuade you to be convinced that this is the most important thing in your life right now. Does anybody ever feel that way? Maybe it's school. Maybe it's trying to decide what's best for your kids. Maybe you're a teacher and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do this job in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of regulations. All of these things are, and listen to this, they're important in our life. There's places for them. But I think ultimately they can lead to just a distracted life where we focus on all the wrong things instead of the main one true thing, which is Jesus. It's Jesus. And that's why we're here, right? That's why we're in this room. We're really here for no other reason. Maybe you think you came for a certain reason. Maybe you think that it was just a kind of a get your life on in its order kind of place to show up. Or maybe it's like, hey, I thought I'd meet some nice people here. I wanted just community. But at the end of the day, those are all just, you know, maybe good things that come from church. But really, we're here for Jesus. And you see, Jesus comes on the scene in his culture, which was extremely religious. They were trying to do all the things they could do that were right, following the law in all of the right ways. And he basically says, you've missed it. You've missed it. You made it about all of this, but it's really just about, and he would boil it down to just two all the time, and even sometimes just one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Love each other as I have loved you. He'd boil it down over and over, and he'd say, you know, you make all of these things important, but you've forgotten love. You've forgotten grace. You've forgotten mercy. And he was challenging their culture in that day in the thing that had most distracted them, which was their religion. And for some of us, that's still true. But also in our world right now, I think one of the most distracting things, and listen, you guys can crucify me later, is patriotism. You know, I watched this meme, and I probably shouldn't even, I can't even repeat it completely because there was vulgarities in it. But it goes on to say that if Christians don't stand up in this time and make their voice heard, we're not going to have an America. Now listen, I'm as patriotic as anybody. Ask anyone. But that sentence doesn't go together. Because as Christians, we weren't called to set up a country. We weren't called to really espouse even to a government. Now, should we care about our government? Should we care about our country? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. Don't hear the wrong message here. But if that becomes what we're called to do, we've missed it. And I think Jesus would show up and say, you've missed it. Because what we're called to do extends his kingdom. Extend his story in this world, the gospel story, this good news. This is what we're called to do, is to show the world what Jesus was like. And at the core of it all, that's what we have to pay attention to. Because right now, if we pick sides, you know, it's funny. There's always these two sides being touted, right? Whatever it is, there's almost always just two sides. You're either for Black Lives Matter or you're against it. You're either Democrat or you're Republican. And anybody in between just gets kind of thrown out. You're either for something or you're against something. But really, there is a third option in all of our lives. Pick Jesus. And I know that it sounds almost like I'm just trying to be silly and simplifying something, but it's true. It's true. In fact, they got so angry with Jesus about challenging them on the simplicity of his message, they killed him. They said, this guy's ridiculous. He just keeps talking about love. You know, one time the Pharisees come to him and they're waiting to catch him in the act. And it says they see him heal this man's hand on the Sabbath day, which was totally against the rules. And so they catch him and they want to bring him into their religious court. And he's just like, seriously? And he goes, hey, if your donkey got stuck in the ditch, who wouldn't pull it out on Sunday or Sabbath day? He's making a point. You've been distracted by the rules. You've been distracted by this thing in your life, and you've forgotten what's most important. And I want to challenge all of us today, me included, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Now, please don't hate me either. I love our country. I love our, honestly, if I probably wasn't, a leader in a church, I'd probably want to be in politics. I like kind of the fight of it. But I also realize that it's probably just spinning your wheels and it doesn't really matter. Should we vote? Absolutely. If you don't vote, you got a problem. Go and vote. You want to have a say that's more than just your next meme on Facebook? Go and vote. So I'm not putting that stuff down. Please don't hear that. But as Christians, there's something that we're supposed to rise above in this world. And when people look at us, they shouldn't say Republican. They shouldn't say Democrat. They shouldn't say, oh, that guy's for Black Lives Matter. That person's against Black Lives Matter. They shouldn't be able to label us in those ways. They should simply say, oh, that guy's different. And hopefully when they find out what's different, it points to Jesus. And I was talking to some friends this last week about leadership. Talking about how we struggle with leadership in our culture, but what Jesus said is it's different. There's this kind of story. I'm not even on my notes at all, and I know that, okay? There's this story that takes place where, the mother of, I forget even which ones it was, James and John, I forget which ones. But the mother of two sons that are disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, can my two sons sit at your right and left hand when you're on the throne? Because they anticipated Jesus setting up a government that would overthrow the Romans and set up his new kingdom. And so she's like, I'm just going to ask a favor. And Jesus says, oh, but could you drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm going to have to drink from? And the two sons are like, oh, yeah, sure, we can do that. And then he says, well, listen, it's not even my place to say who sits on my right hand and my left hand. That's for the Father in heaven alone. But you will drink from the bitter cup of suffering, which I'm sure was a disappointing thing to hear. And then he goes into this little moment of teaching Jesus does. And he says, in this world, those with authority lord it over each other. But among you, it will be different. We are called to be different. If we aren't, I'm not sure that we're following Christ the way we should be. If we don't look different to the world, I'm not sure we're doing what we're called to do. Sometimes, actually most of the time, following Jesus is against the crowd. It's against the way that most people want to go. It's against the way that most people want to persuade us to think. It's just his nature. Man, I should get to my notes. Here's a story. I've told you a bunch already. Ezra 4. I want to go back to this story. So I'll just set up a little synopsis for you and kind of what they went through as the Israelites in that time. So the Israelites were in Babylon. They had been captured. They had been taken into captivity. They are now in Babylon for 50 to 70 years when one of the kings of Babylon says, hey, basically has this revelation from God and allows the Israelites to return. Now, not all the Israelites actually go. Only some of them do. Some of them don't even want to leave their captivity. They like it now. And the first group basically goes over and starts, and it's with a guy named Zerubbabel, and starts all this work to rebuild the temple. And they came against opposition. Ezra 4, I put the verse there. It says, verse 24, so the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem had stopped. They had all of these things come against them, and there was kind of famine actually happening around them at the same time, and so they were struggling with all of the things that were happening as they had just come back to their homeland, and they really couldn't accomplish well, and eventually they even had these people who had come against them and convinced the new king to say, hey, the work needs to stop. So they stopped. And then a little bit down the road, actually quite a ways down the road, when you read Ezra, it feels like it was the next day or the next week. It was not. It was about 50 years later. Actually, it was almost 60 years later that Ezra shows up on the scene and basically wants to find out, did they rebuild the temple yet? And they hadn't. It wasn't finished. And so Ezra, he comes in and he kind of takes charge of this project again, and he confronts them on basically intermarrying because they weren't supposed to be doing that and not following the rules and basically losing their identity in their home country. And Ezra comes in and they finish this project. And they actually start, they say they want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but they don't really get to it. About another 18 years later, another person shows up. His name's Nehemiah. And Nehemiah shows up and it's a similar thing. He feels like God tells him, you need to go back. You need to rebuild the walls of my city. Now, this was God's heart for his people to leave the captivity of Babylon, to go back to their home country, to rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls, to be his people again. And so Nehemiah shows up and finds out that nothing has really taken place. And it says, if you go to some of the scriptures there in chapter 2, I'm not going to read them all because I've talked a little bit too much about other things, but in chapter 2, verse 11, it says that 3 days after he arrived in Jerusalem, he kind of snuck out in the middle of the night, and he went to take an assessment of all the work that needed to be done. And basically, the story you hear is it was just a rubble heap. The walls were just rubble. Now, I've been there. These things are monstrous. These walls are crazy huge. And he takes this kind of, you know, review of what's taking place, and he finally comes back and he gathers together, you know, some of those that had come before him and the different groups that had left Babylon. And he says, listen, we need to rebuild the walls. And he kind of charges them and really challenges them. And they do. They decide, we're going to start. And immediately upon starting, what takes place is a whole bunch of people don't want them to complete the walls. In Nehemiah 4, 5, and 6, you kind of get this story of these specific people who are constantly mocking Nehemiah, constantly threatening him. And we get to this part in the story where they're writing letters to Nehemiah saying, hey, come and talk to us because we don't want you to be doing what you're doing. So we need to deal with this. We need to talk this out. So come to this village and we'll talk to you. Now, Nehemiah basically gets the hint that they're going to kill him if he shows up. So he doesn't go, but he writes this response. He says, I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? That's his response to them. I'm engaged in a great work, so why should I stop working to come and meet with you? You see, Nehemiah realized that for now, nearly 100 years, so it had been nearly 100 years since the first group of Israelites had left their captivity in Babylon. 100 years. They still haven't completed the work God sent them to do. And Nehemiah says, listen, I'm not getting distracted like these other groups. I'm not coming down off this wall. I'm not going to listen to your threats. I'm not going to listen to all of your things and the naysaying that's taking place. I'm going to finish this wall. And if you jump down in Nehemiah 6, or just beyond that, Nehemiah 6 and verse 15, it says on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after they'd begun. The first group came when? Nearly 100 years before that. And in 52 days after Nehemiah shows up, they finished the work that God had wanted them to finish. Now, anybody that does little construction, there's quite a discrepancy in that timeline, isn't there? One group can't get it finished in 100 years, and the other finishes it in 52 days. The issue wasn't the work. It wasn't that the work was insurmountable or impossible. It was that they had become distracted by what the work was supposed to be. Their lives became about other things, and they didn't accomplish the work that God had sent them out to accomplish. I think the same can be true of the church today. Now, we're not building walls and we're not erecting temples. But we are absolutely called to a work in this world. And when we get distracted by other things, when we get sucked into championing our rights and standing up for X cause or against X cause or whatever, then we actually lose a sight on the main thing that God's called us to do, which is to fulfill his work in this world. You know, Paul writes in a couple of his letters. And he says, don't worry. Keep doing what you're doing, for Jesus is coming back soon. That was 2,000 years ago. And I've often placed this question, why? Why would they think Jesus was coming back soon? He obviously wasn't. But I think part of the issue is Jesus is waiting on us to accomplish his work. Maybe it'll take us another couple thousand years. Who knows? But for some reason, Jesus refuses to do this thing on his own. He says we're co-laborers with him, right? Romans says we're co-laborers with Christ. We're meant to work alongside him. We're called to accomplish his mission in this world. But when we become distracted citizens of heaven doing other things, we don't accomplish his work. So what is the work God has for us today? Any ideas? You feel very silent to me today. Maybe I'm being too harsh. Harvest, love. Here's one for you. This is just one. Luke 6. I was reading this to some friends this week. I love how Jesus starts. These are his words. I love how he starts them. And he says this, "But to you who are willing to listen." I love that because he's just saying, some of you aren't even going to hear me. "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you." Imagine if that is what we kept our eyes on as Christians. Imagine if we got on social media and our intent was to do those three things. Love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who hurt us. Imagine if that was our goal. Imagine if we listened to the words Jesus saying, because even him, he understood, I'm going to speak into a culture that won't hear me, but I'm going to say to those who are willing to listen. Question I ask you right now, are you willing? Do you want to hear the words that Jesus is speaking to us? Do you want to hear the things that he's called us to do, to love one another in ways that doesn't make sense to us nor the rest of the world, but is the greatest thing that we could accomplish? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says this, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." How do we do this? By keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We all believe God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. We believe that God has incredible things for us to accomplish, but we can only do it when we keep our eyes fixed on him. The question, what things are we looking at instead of Jesus? Facebook's probably one of them. Instagram, social media of any kind. Anybody ever look at that screen time app? It's like the worst thing Apple ever invented, isn't it? It's like, here's your conscience. Oh, you only spent six and a half hours every day on social media. You reduced it by 13% from last week. I mean, go to your social media, go to that screen time app on your phone, look up how much social media spend, and then ask yourselves, what am I looking at that might not be Jesus? Hebrews 12, 25, the Hebrew writer, he's admonishing, he says this, "Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking." He's talking about Jesus. Be careful not to refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. He's not talking about me. What are we listening to that might not be Jesus? Fox News? CNN? Any talking head that's on the news right now? The DNC or the RNC? What are you listening to that might not be Jesus? Now, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but what I'm saying is, what are we listening to that ends up replacing the voice of Christ in our life? And so we wake up in the morning, instead of going to scripture, instead of going to prayer to hear the voice of Jesus, we immediately go to the news app, or we immediately go to social media to get that first intake of what we're going to listen to for the day. I'm telling you, what you put in here, what you listen to, what you see, it's what you're going to be. And listen, listening to me for 40 minutes and worship for 35 minutes on a Sunday morning will never outdo the amount that the world wants you to see and hear. So you have to purpose it. You have to determine in your heart, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get swallowed up in just listening to the world and seeing what the world wants to say. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He first in that chapter, Matthew 6, he basically is talking about, don't worry about the clothes you wear. Don't worry about the food that you need to eat. He says the thoughts of unbelievers are dominated by these things. How much of us have anxiety in this world right now? Tons. Worry. Uncertainty. Jesus is saying, don't even focus on those things. Fix your eyes on me. Seek first his righteousness and all of these things will be added unto you. Don't get distracted by the worries of the world. Don't get distracted by how this is going to work out or what Governor Cuomo is going to say next or what Donald Trump is going to say next. Don't get distracted by those things. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. What are we seeking after in our lives? Listen, I knew I was going to be a little intense about this today. You guys okay? You're all posting on social media right now about how horrible I am. Jesus is a challenging person. He came with the most grace, love, and mercy, but at the same time, he came with some of the most cutting words ever. And sometimes we need to let Jesus remind us and reorient our hearts and reorient our minds to say, listen, don't get distracted by all the ways the world is acting right now. That's him. He's speaking that to us this morning. To me, to you, he's saying, don't be distracted by the ways that the world is acting. It doesn't mean we shouldn't take note. It doesn't mean we shouldn't understand. It doesn't mean we shouldn't empathize. But at the end of the day, Jesus gives us very distinct things. And he says, but if we're willing to listen, will we do these? What are we seeking after in our lives? Are we seeking after his righteousness? Or are we seeking after other things? I think it's super easy for us to make a life all about other things. Wealth, reputation, retirement, status, 401ks and 403bs. Maybe we actually make it about standing up for our rights or our freedoms or about winning this or losing that. We make it about things that are actually not important in the kingdom of God. Now, those things all have their place in our lives, right? They all have their place in our lives. But when they become our lives, we've gotten distracted. Those things are all secondary to Jesus. You know, people always talk about prioritizing in our lives, right? Like putting your priorities first. I really think there's only two things. Jesus, everything else. You can figure out the everything else for yourself. But in Christianity, that's simply it. Seek first Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Everything else will work out more than if you tried to figure it out yourself. When I lay awake at night trying to determine how to deal with this situation or stressing over how to say these words to this person or how to talk to this person or how should I act in this way or what should I say to that or how should I deal with this going on in the world and I stress over it, I almost never get anywhere. But when I first seek Jesus, when I simply say, man, Jesus, I need you. And I go after him and I spend time in prayer and I spend time in worship. Something happens that isn't even the work of me. It's simply him just making it work out. He puts in order the things that are supposed to happen. Ideas come to me that I never would have had. Because when we seek him first, it says all of these things will be added unto you. All of these things. I don't know what all of these things really are, but I'll take them. Whatever Jesus is offering, that's what I want. Why don't we stand this morning? Now, I want to leave you with these three questions as I pray for you all. Because I think we're supposed to be challenged. I hope you're okay with that today. Listen, I know God is so loving to us, but his love also constrains us, doesn't it? It calls us to be better than we were. It calls us to mature from where we were. It calls us to kind of be raised higher than where we lived before. What things are we looking at instead of Jesus? What are we listening to that may not be of Jesus? And what are we seeking after in our lives? I would ask you every day this week, maybe put this on your nightstand or on your phone or whatever, somehow that you'll see this. I'm asking you, wake up in the morning and ask yourself this question. I think simply asking this question to ourselves will cause us to make that second decision of the day very differently than maybe our natural reaction would be. Go first and ask him, Jesus, what should I be looking at today? What should I be listening to today? And I think things might go differently than your normal day. Things might happen differently in your heart than they normally would. Can we accept that challenge together today? Can we accept the challenge of spending just even this week saying, God, I want to first come to you before anything else. Before I get distracted by anything else. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for myself, I mean. Believing that I know God wants our eyes to be fixed on him in this world, in this moment. And I pray that out of that, the mission will take place. That we will see and remember the work God's really called us to. So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. God, we thank you for how your scripture speaks to us, God, and how it challenges us and how it changes us. But God, we actually ask right now for your Holy Spirit to come in and do a transformative work in our minds. God, we know that really the first battlefield of our lives is always in our mind. God, it's always in our mindset and how we think, and how we think is always how we act and what we do. So God, I pray this week that as we kind of wake out of our sleep each morning, that our mindset would go to you first and we would ask ourselves these challenging questions. God, what are we looking at that maybe isn't you? God, what are we listening to that maybe isn't you? And what are we seeking after? And so, Father, I ask right now that you would open our hearts in this moment. God, that we'd allow you kind of maybe to put your finger on us. To just say, hey, this might need a tweak, or you might need to think differently here, or you might need to be challenged here. God, let us have open lives to hear from you this week. That when the world looks, they'll say, those people are different. And when they seek out the answer why, all they'll find is you, Jesus. So God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. God, I ask you to bless every person in this room, bless every family, God. We ask that you bless every person watching online today, God, from every location, God, at any time they log on later. God, we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. God, that there would just be an incredible week of getting to know you in a deeper way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. And we will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.